So the first part of last night's shiur discussed karka, Tosos about karkaos, and we did a few different points. So the first point you dealt with was the Gilgal Shvuah, which we already mentioned. We just expanded a tiny drop. There's the famous Chakira in terms of Gilgal Shvuah. There's a lot of other parts into this. Is again, Gilgal Shvuah means I'm chayv to swear on A and I'm patur to swear on B. But once I'm swearing on A, I'm also chayv to swear on B. So, what is Gilgal Shvuah? So, you could say that it's just, again, what's the case? Let's say I'm chayv on A and patur on B. It's an expanded shvuah. Principles, look, in kvar, what are the same as in kvar, azkar. Right, if you're already swearing, you might as well, say clear up any uncertainties. Right? So it's not, there's no new chiyuv, it's just in kvar, you're swearing. We wouldn't have made you swear just stam. But if you're swearing, you might as well just clear the dust and get a clean slate. Or, it's a real mechayev of Shvua B. No, you're Chayv Shvua A, and just like a Moda Mitzas is Mechayev you a Shvua on something, or Shomrim, or Yechad Mechayev you Shvua on something, etc. A Gilgal of A is a real Mechayev of the Shvua B. It's a real Mechayev of the Chayv Shvua. So the Anafgamina might be, how about for what our Tosos says, Tosos says, how could you have a shvuah? Right? Tosos said, how could you have a shvuah on karka? Right? Right? There's a having of Torah times gan on karka. There's only having of Torah times gan if there's a shvuah. How could you have a shvuah? It says, don't say kavetz v'nishba. Very brief mention of machlokes between the rach and the rashma and nafka above. Whether kavetz v'nishba just doesn't count as a shvuah sadeigadim at all, or it just doesn't count for the purpose of Torah times gan. But either way, you need a very serious shvuah so the young for Torah Tanis Gan. If you can't just be stam a shvuah the belt kafat v'nishva. So those ends are Gilgal Shvuah. So what is Gilgal Shvuah? What is Gilgal Shvuah? The karka is B. I also am swearing to you about some other transaction with the bicycle. So if it just means I'm already swearing at the bicycle, you might as well throw in the karka. But that's not a real shvuah so the young in on this karka. Not a real shvuah so shomer in this karka. So those doesn't make any sense, of course. If it was just throwing into some other shvuah, then you haven't really taken a shvuah so the young in on this thing. So it wouldn't be chayiv it would be no better than kafat v'nishba. It wasn't the real shvuah you were chayiv to take. But if you say no, it's a machayiv shvuah be, then once we already have this other argument about bicycles, now I'm really chayiv. I have an independent machayiv that makes me take a shvuah about this karka. Then it's a real shvuah that I got about this karka, and it would make sense that there'd be a havmina of Torah Tanis Gan. He just threw out some other, fairly classic nafgaminas in terms of the case discussed by the Yerushalmi and the Rif, bring down on our folks about this. What if, right, I'm Chayav Shua A, right, the Toein is Megalgel, B, C, D, etc. So, the Nitan wants to just pay up A and be potter from all the shvuos. Right? It's like a trick. Right? You say, you $10 and I admit $5, so I'm chayv mod misa on the other $5. You say, once you're chayv mod misa on the other $5, we had $1 million real estate transaction, I want you to swear on that also. So, can I just say, I'll pay the $5 and get out of the Gilgal? So, all the Gilgal is that if I'm taking the shvuah, we expand it to include some other things, then obviously if I pay and get out of the original shvuah, so we don't have to expand it anymore. Especially if it's just in kvar az kvar, you might as well clear up things as long as you're swearing, but if I pay the $5 to get out of my original shvuah, then I don't have to clear things up. But if you say it's a real mechayev, then it's a real mechayev. I have a real chiyuv shvuah on B, C, and D. But you can still see it either way. You can say once I have a real chiyuv shvuah on B, C, and D, it's too late to get out of it. Or you can say no. If I get out of the thing that made the chiyuv, then I get out of the chiyuv. So that you could see going either way. It's a real chiyuv shvuah, but it's a real chiyuv shvuah that takes on a life of its own once it's created. It's sorcerer's apprentice. You can't take it back. But no, it's a real chiyuv shvuah as long as the reason behind it still applies. The other naft. What? Where's the Yerushalmi? I don't recall. I don't recall. If you ask me later, I'll try to find it. The other nafgamina is the discussion of Tosa and Daf Tzadi Zayin and Aleph of Bab Metzia. How about Mito She'enu Yachal Yishav HaMashali in Gilgul Shua? Right, in a real shvuah, we say if you're chayiv a real original shvuah, and you for some reason weave out of swearing or you can't swear, then you have to pay. What about if I'm a galgal shvuah on you and you can't swear? Right, we have the shvuah loan is $5. I'm a galgal this other shvuah at the $1 million transaction, and you say I forgot. So, do you have to pay the $1 million or not? So Tosa says 2 days about that. So this also. Should depend on this. If it's just in kfar, you know, as long as you're swearing, you might as well clear up some other things. That's just, yeah, as long as you're swearing, you might as well clear up some other things. But it's not like you're going to have to pay if you can't. That's as long as you're swearing. Swear you don't know. You know, clear up the issue as much as you can. But there's no real chiv here that's going to make you pay money. But if you say it's a real mechayv v'shua, and also, we'll say, well, probably yes, you would say it's a real chiyuv shvuah, unless you want to say it's a weaker chiyuv shvuah. But assuming that it's a real shvuah chiyuv shvuah, then you're doing tovshin yochel shav mashal. Now you have a chiyuv shvuah on this $1 million. If you can't swear, then you have to pay. It's a real chiyuv shvuah. Then he suggested that it could be that maybe there's tzvei dinim. In Gilgul Shvuah, maybe sometimes it's a real Mechayev, and sometimes just an expansion of the original Shvuah. That might depend on the Chiluk which Tosfos mentions. Tosfos mentions a few places, both in that one above Metzia Tzadi Zayin, and in above Metzia Daf Vav, B'Shidu Le'Natam. You only have a Gilgul Shvuah and Dover Adom, and something with, like, grounds for suspicion. And Tosfos and Metzia and the Rush say, no, that's not true. I mean, the Gemara in Kedushin says clearly you can't have Gilgul Shvuah even without any grounds for I sue you over $10 and I can say, swear you're not my Eved. Even it just totally made up out of the clear blue. So the answer is, Tosfos makes two tracks. It says, if I have a Tainas Vadai, I know that you owed me $1 million. You know, from one day we were both in Thailand and no one knew about it. And you promised me $1 million. So, okay, if it's a Tainas Vadai, then even if it's not a Dover Domi, you're Chayiv. But a Tainas Shema, I just said, well, I'll let you be McGoggle, swear also, because I think you might owe me money. Might owe me money. It's only if it's a Dover Domi. So, you didn't have to see this as two different dinim. Could have just said it's just two ways to get, some grounds for suspicion, either through Tainas Vadai or through Dover Domi. But it's possible, he said, that maybe, depending on which taina you have, if you have a tainas vadai, or if you have a tainas shema. If you have a tainas vadai, I really believe you owe me the money, then you can create an independent fee of shvuah. But if it's a tainas shema, if you're just saying, well, you might owe me other money, then that's not creating the dependency of Shavuot, just you might as well clear things up and include them in your original Shavuot. That's what you want to suggest. And an independent of Shavuot would apply to all things. If I have a tainas vada, I make an independent of Shavuot, no matter what the case is. If it's tainas shema, then we're just expanding the chiyuv shvuah. That's the expansion only works to expand the original chiyuv shvuah, which is something which had some grounds for it, for other things, which are dome, which have some grounds for them. Okay, that's a bit of a speculation, but it's possible you could say a tzvi dinim. The next issue we dealt with, the second thing we dealt with in Shir, was the question also we had brought up last time, which is, Tosfos already asked, how can you have a Havni of Tzoyin Tanis Ganav in Karka? There's no Shvuah. Better question, how can you have a Havni of Tzoyin Tanis Ganav in Karka? There's no Shmira. Only a Shomer can be Tzoyin Tanis Ganav. I think that's pretty fashioned. Right, if you just leave your thing on the street and I steal it and claim it was stolen by a Ganav. So I'm not Chayav Kefil, I wasn't a Shomer. So how do you answer the question on Tosfos? So we're not going to... So he reviewed briefly again the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says Poshe Kemazik, which makes two assumptions. One, what does that mean? That if I'm a Shomer in your Karka and I'm Poshe, I'm Chayav to pay because it's Midin Hezek. And Hezek applies to Karka. So one, that Poshe is Kemazik, which the Raiva disagrees with. Number two, again, even if Poshe is Kemazik, obviously if you leave your knapsack on the street and I'm Poshe with it, that's not Kemazik. She is only Kamazik for a show in the context of Shmira. So that there's the context of Shmira by Karka, which Tosfos, Babitzion, and Zion disagrees with. So we have a very fundamental machlokes here. The Rambam holds there's a Chalosh Shmira on Karka, but no Fiyuvei Shmira. And Tosfos holds there's no Chalosh Shmira on Karka at all. Agav, we mentioned, Rav Chaim, he said it was a stencil. I looked from the stencil, I'm not sure where it is here. What? Yeah, but in any case, I think it's what people say in the Velt. Although... there's a Birka Shmuel. There's a Birka Shmuel who has a lot of problems with this and quotes from Chaim a little differently. But the Raiva asked the question. He says, hold on, if Poshe is Kamazik, then why do you admit that Bebailim, right? Shmir Bebailim is Potter, right? Bebailim also works for me. So why do you admit that Shmir Bebailim, that Poshe Bebailim is Potter? If Poshe is Kamazik, it should be Chayv in Karka and Chayv in Bailavimo. If it's Kamazik, Bailavimo should be chayiv, and Karka Avonim Shor should be chayiv. If it's not Mazik, then they should both be Potter. But why do you Rambam say that if you're Shomer Bailavimo, you're Potter for Pshia? But Avonim Shor is in Karka, you're chayiv in Shmira. So Rav Chaim just answered, again, based on this Mahalach, and the Rambam, which is the Pashup Shana, the Rambam, he said, no. The Rambam doesn't say Poshe is Kamazik for a stranger. Poshe is only Kamazik when there's a Chalosh Shmira. So there's a difference. Avonim Shor is in Karka, have a Chalosh Shmira, just no Chiyuve Shmira. Bailav Emo is not even a Chalosh Shmira. Bailav Emo is Mavkiya the Chalosh Shmira. You're not even a Shame Shomer if there's Bailav Emo. Avadim Shar is in Karka. You are a Shame Shomer, but you're Potter from Tashlumen. Then the Ram makes perfect sense. Bailav Emo, where you're not even a Shomer, so even Pshia, you're Potter, because you're not a Shomer, you're a stranger. Avadim Shtaros and Karkos, where you're a Shomer without Chiyuvim, but since you're a Shomer, Pshia Kamazik, and you have Chiyuvim Azik. The Rambam pointed out that that's not intuitive, which always bothered me also. I mean, intuitively, I would assume Bailav Emo is Shmira, just you have a Ptor. Avadim Karka, you can't even be a Shomer, but okay, even though it's not intuitive, it explains the Rambam. Anyway, the back to... back to this question. So we have this question, is there a... We know there's no Chiyuvei Shmira on Karka Avadim Shtaros. Is there Chalosh Shmira or not? So that's a machlokes, right? Is there Chalosh Shmira or not? Between the Rambam, who says Poshea Kemazik, as opposed to Bailav Emo, where Poshea is not Kemazik, he's not even a Chalosh Shmira, and Tosfos and Bav Metzia, Nafkan Zayin, who says Potter. The other Nafkamina is, what about Shlichus Yad by Karka? Again, Shlichus Yad, the Mechayi of Shlichus Yad seems to be Gezel. Well, one could make that Chakira. But let's assume the Mechayi of Shlichus Yad is Gezel. It's very much like Poshea Kamazik. Poshea Kamazik, Shlich Yad, Kigazlan. But Shlichus Yad only applies to a Shomer. If I'm Sholeach Yad in something that you just stop and leave on the street, then I'm not a Gazlan. But if the Shlich Yad can only be a very subtle, small mice, that's not really mice exil. But if I'm Shalech Yad and a Shomer, so is there Shlichos Yad or not? So you would say if there's really Chalosh Shmira, then there should be Shlichos Yad. Meaning that it's a good thing to do, but the concept should apply in Shmichayim. But the Ritvan Vav Metzia seems all by Tosos says there's no Shlichos Yad for Karka. The Ktos has a discussion of Shlichos Yad for Shtoros where he brings about folks about it, although it's a little tricky because it's not so posh that you could equate Shtaros and Karka here. So, in Karka, it's the Rishon Bava Metzia who discussed it. So that would also be an afkamina of whether it's Chalosh Shmira by
by Karka or not. So, Lemaisa, we still have one problem. The one problem is where we started out. What's the Havamina of Toin Tanis Ganim and Karka? There's no Shmira. So one answer is there is Shmira in Karka. And that works for Tosos, not for the Rambam, not for Tosos and the Ritva. So that's one answer. There is Shmira in Karka. Right? The
Havamina of Toin Tanis Ganim.
So there is Shmira and Karka. That's one side of the equation. What if you take the other side of the equation? Like, for example, Tosos. We'd assume Tosos holds like Tosos, even though it's above a common, above Matzia. So what would they say? If they think there's really no Shmira and Karka, how could they be having a Toin Tanis Ganim? So you want to make a diak in the Tosos Bein Peretz, which would be a very, very big chiddush. Tosos Bein Peretz, threw in a line at the end of this parallel discussion, says, Kigon Sheminuhu Shomer. He appointed him a Shomer on the Karka. And what exactly does this do for us, that he appointed him a Shomer on the Karka? So this is what the Tosfos Bein Peretz says. Minoi to be a shomer. Now, it's not Mocher that he's trying to answer this question. Could be he was just like trying to explain the Hechi Temtza. But if he's trying to answer this question, the question was, how could you have Shmira and Karka? The answer is, he made him a shomer. Oh, but you can't have Shmira and Karka. So how did it help that he made him a shomer? So, Rav Lifson wanted to say, it could be, and this would be a big Kiddush, that there's two ways, two tracks of Shmira. One track of Shmira is you hand something over to the other person. A Maisa, Kenyan, again, you're not literally calling it, but that's Kiyitin Ishalehi, right? An Ish has to have Das Makna, not be a cut, the Gemara says later. Give something over. I give something over to you, that creates a Chalo Shmira. Could be, so we're about to suggest there could be two ways to create a Chalo Shmira. I give something to you, or I appoint you. Meaning there could be one way of creating a Chalo Shmira is by work. Is mitzad the chefta. We do a maisa on the chefta that puts the chefta in your rishos, in the physical sense at least, and therefore your shomer. Or you can have a chalosh, the chalosh mir who created mitzad the gavra. I appoint you as a gavra shomer. So it could be there's two tracks to creating shmira, a chefta track by handing the chefta over to you, and a gavra track by appointing you a chaloshem shomer, giving you the job of shomer. Even though the chefta hasn't moved at all. There's a plimatothlin also, right? It's a basketball. I could hand the basketball to you. Or I could say, you are now the shomer of the basketball. And that would create shmira. And then you have to just make a chiddush. The big chiddush is that there are two tracks. One track is through the sina. Sinas. Chefta. The other track is through minoy of the gavra. And this track excludes Karka, Avadin, and Shtaros. And this applies even to Karka, Avadin, and Shtaros. That when you're creating Shmir Mitzad the Chefta, it's only the Chefta Mitzad the Lukufo Mamma. When you're creating Shmir Mitzad the Gavra, that can apply to anything. Now, this is reading a lot into one line in Tosfos Bein Peretz, but maybe Tosfos Bein Peretz, he seems to have been bothered by exactly how you become a Shomer. At any point, this Minoy, maybe what he's trying to say is that when you have Minoy, you can have Shmir on Karka.
What about
Tosfos Bein Metzia was taught, then, and Tosfos Bein Metzia was talking about through Nestinas HaChefetz.
Even though the whole Mishnah was also talking about Karka and everything.
And there's no Shmir. Those are the same. There's no shmir.
Right, but how? But any type of shomer by karka is not going to be able to be done. So it's just, I don't understand. So when you're talking about a shomer by, so we're just making up for a second. Let's talk about
yes.
By karka.
So but I'm not 100% sure what he meant by that. I'm not 100% sure. I hear exactly what you're saying. But I'm not 100% sure.
A third answer might be, which is a mefurish gemara about metziyat daf menches.
Has a case of you hire someone to watch a para, a tinok, or zroin, right? So a para is metal to guva mama, a tinok is not. And zroin are attached to the ground, meaning they are certainly not. So the Gemara is, how can you shmira on these things which are not devil metal to guva mama? And the answer, very partial answer, kana miyado. Right, you made a special kinyan sudar to be a shomer anyway.
Right? This is the, just like we find in the end of the seventh paragraph of Metzia, that, you know, if you want, I say, can you watch this for free? But be chayiv and onsen. The answer is, well, there are 2 days, but everyone agrees that, yeah, if I make kinyan suda, you agree to be chayiv and onsen. Well, yeah, I'm passing, you don't need that, then fine. Yeah, you can create the chayiv shmira, even where you wouldn't normally be chayiv. You can accept the chayiv upon yourselves by a halachically valid, by a halachically valid kinyan. So it could be that you can answer that here also, we have to have a hechi tims of shmira by karka, that you would have a hava mina of 20 times ganif. The answer is, kanu miyado, you did a kinyan suda, literally, you know, it just means you, you know, took the kinyan suda from his hand. You did a kinyan, and in that kinyan, obligated yourself to be a, obligated yourself to be a shomer. This would solve the shmira problem, right? Happy of shmira by karka. The answer is kanu miyado. How about the shvua problem? Would it also solve the shvua problem if I was kanu miyado through a kinyan suda or agreed to be chayiv for this karka? Would I also be chayiv shvua? So that's a maybe, right? Tosos, there's the shvua problem. How can you have the 20 times God if there's no shvua? Maybe the answer is, if you come together, there is a shvua. That is a suffix of the ksos. Not the ksos' own suffix. It's a mishin alef sukkot gimel. He quotes it as the suffix of the marasason and the shach. It's a suffix of the achronim. Whether, if you have kanu miyado, that creates the yuvei tashlumin, or that even creates the yuvei shvua, so that certainly might solve our problem. Okay, there's more one can get into in terms of this, you know, whether kind of yado is a real chalosh shmira, whether it's just yuvim that are similar to chalosh shmira, but assuming that it's a real chalosh shmira, then it would solve our problem. Okay, at the very end of Tosos, okay, we briefly already mentioned about Hasagas Gvul, Tosos assuming Hasagas Gvul falls into Geneva, we know at least in the Sefri, said before she can fall into Gzela, and the Rambam, it would support this Tosfos, because Rambam says before, Shasagas Gvul can be Gneva if you do it stealthily, or Gzela if you do it forcibly. But, so Tosfos would be like this Rambam that says, if you do a Shasagas Gvul stealthily, which I think that most people usually do it, then it will fall in the category of Gneva, and that's how Tosfos found the Hefi, one of his attempts of Gneva by Karka. So he asked, what's even Hefi Tim? So how do you do a Maisa Gneva by Karka? So one answer is, Hasagas Gvul, you come in the middle of the night and move the Gvul. The other answer he says is, you come in the middle of the night and steal the fruit off the trees, anam ha'omdim li'batzer. Right? You steal the ripe fruit off the tree. Now I get into a whole question of, what is the status of mechubar l'karka? So, let's say fruits that grow on the ground, anam ha'omdim li'batzer, pickable, fruits. So the Gemara, it's a little funny to figure out exactly what's going on. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf and Beis and Beis says Mefurish the Machlokes of Meir and Chachamim, what the status of Anavim Ha'omdim Libatzer is. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf and Aleph and Aleph, pretty Mefurish, Paskins that it depends. If they still need the Karka, Tzvich from the Karka to grow more, then they're like the Karka. If they don't need the Karka anymore, then they are not like the karka. So it's a machlokes rishonim. If you look, even the Magen Mishnah was holding Nitan has the suffix which side the Rambam holds like, and it's machlokes rishonim. That's the Rive and Magen Mishnah deal with, you know, who does the Rambam actually hold like. But it's not 100%. Right, it's not 100% clear. Are the Meir and the Chacham arguing that Tzrichos the karka? Or are Rami and Chacham arguing about ain't Tzrichos the karka? So this is a little unclear. There are two ways of understanding. Machlokes Rami and Chacham, we didn't get into this, but just to know two ways. The Magen Mishnah calls it Rishonim arguing about understanding. Here's Rami Meir. And here's Chachamim. And here is Tzrichin the karka. And ain't Tzrichin the karka. So one way of understanding the Machlokes of Meir and the Chachamim is that they're arguing. One second. Yeah, that they're arguing about Ein Tzrich L'Karka. Here is where Rav Meir says like Metalpolin, and the Chama say it's like Karka, but if it still needs the Karka, then everyone agrees. It still needs to grow more in the ground. Everyone agrees it's like Karka. The other way of understanding Machloket is that no, everyone agrees they don't need the Karka anymore, they're like Metalpolin. But they argue about what if they still need the Karka? What if they still need to grow a little more? Then Rav Meir would say they're like Metalpolin. And the Chachamim would say they're like Karka. So that's why it's a little suffic. When the Rambam paskins that if they're tree from the Karka, they're like Karka, but if they're ain't tree from the Karka, they're like Metalpolin, we don't know if he's paskin like Rav Meir or he's paskin like the Chachamim. Okay. So, but that's really Ayin Shum in Shavuos. L'maisa, for us, we just pointed out that Tosfos there wants to say that it depends for which area of halacha. Meaning, one thing it depends on is, obviously, remain the chum machlokes, it depends on physically how ripe the fruit is. Does it still need the karka or not? Another thing it might depend on is what the application is. It might be different for different applications. So, for example, Tosfos wants to say, some cases are the kuli alma like karka, some cases are the kuli alma like metalthalin. What does Tosfos say? So, Tosfos says that le'inyan Shabbos, melacha b'Shabbos, l'kuli alma, it's like karka. Meaning, if I have a fully ripe fruit and I pick it, it's like I picked it off the karka and I'm chayav for the melacha of kotzer on Shabbos. I think that's pretty muskim. Everyone agrees to that. Meaning, on Shabbos, even if it's omdus li'batzer and ain't a tzrich l'karka, even if it's fully, it's so ready, it's overripe and over-ready to pick, doesn't matter. I'm still chayav misa if I pick it because it's considered picking something that's b'chover l'karka. So that's pretty pashut for Shabbos. The only machlokes he wrote down, the interesting machlokes, which is a bit of a side point here, is how about the machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam about what if it's so dry, not a ripe thing. That there's no machlokes. That's probably the normal way people violate the Malach of Kotzer, right? They pick things that are totally ripe. How about a tree that dried up so it no longer receives nourishment from the karka? A dead plant, right? Which is so dead it has no more biological link to the karka. So, and I pick a fruit off it. Probably not going to be very good fruit. So let's say I pick a little piece of wood off it to use as firewood or whatever. So that's machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos on, based on how to interpret the Gemara in Shkulin Chum Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. Tosfos on Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis. Tosfos says that you are potter. And the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chesel HaGadalot and Rabbi Yochanan will say that you're chayiv. So Tosfos says Potter, and the Rambam says that you are chayiv. So basically Tosfos says, you know, that at least there's some case when it won't be considered attached to the ground anymore if it's totally dead. Well, the Rambam says you're still chayiv. What seems to be machlokas? The machlokas here seems to be, again, this is a tangent for us, but very interesting machlokas. What's the gedder of the melacha of kotzer? Tosfos says you're Potter if it's totally dead. Seems to assume the melacha of kotzer means to detach something from its yinika. To detach something from its source of nutrition. It's sort of akin to a biological killing. So that's Tosfos. The Rambam says no. Even though this tree is legamre, has no link to the karka at all anymore, and doesn't get anything from the karka, it's still usher. So it could be that Tosfos understands this mitzat ochre davar migidulo. There's a whole without getting into the details, there is a sugyan, big sugyan Shabbos Daf Kuf Zayin in the base that ochre dav migidulo sometimes lach of kotzer, or perhaps it means lach of kotzer, can include uprooting things from their natural habitat, even if you're not necessarily uprooting them from their source of life and nutrition. Just uprooting from the natural habitat, even if there is no real biological link, like the question of what about taking fish out of the water, which they're not really linked to the water. They don't get nutrition from water. They eat food. It's just that their natural habitat. Or the whole discussion here of like scraping off a fungus from the wall where it grew, etc. So, where it doesn't derive nutrition. So, it could be that's the base of the machlokas. Tosfos says that the melacha of kotzer is hafsakas yinika. The Rambam says it's just okedav migidulo, meaning gidulo, meaning for Tosfos, gidulo means yinika. For its source of nutrition and life, for the Rambam, gidulo just means its natural habitat. And even though the tree's dead, That's still its natural habitat, is to be attached to the ground. Okay, that was a bit of a tangent. Getting back to where we were looking at different areas of halacha, and Tosa says, L'inyan Shabbos, forget about the dried up tree, just talk about another home butzer, which is what how we got started. We got started right here, Gefunden to Unos, right? The grapes on the vine. For Shabbos, everyone agrees they're considered attached to the ground, and that's why you're chayav for picking them. Is there another case? So Tosos, not everyone agrees. Tosos points out the Rach disagrees, but Tosos thinks that the Gemara in Ksubos says, Gemara in Ksubos Daflon Aleph, says that that a Baal Chov cannot collect from fully ripe fruits that no longer need the ground. Meaning there's no Shiva on them. Normally there's a Shiva on Karka, not on Metaltalin, right? What that means is that if I owed you money and I sold my field, you can go take the field away from that guy, but if I sold my metaltalin, you can't take the metaltalin away from that guy. What if that I sold my field to that guy and it has fully ripe fruits that don't need the ground anymore? Where it says, no Shiva, they're like metaltalin, the Baal Chov cannot collect them. So it says, in this case, the opposite of Shabbos, everyone agrees they're like metaltalin. So why, I understand a little in Shabbos, we can really explain it. Why, for the purpose of Shabbos, would everyone agree it's like Karka? Because Shabbos is not a matter of formal legal status, it's a matter of melechus machshavas, have you actually accomplished something by changing it to a more useful form, and you clearly have. Why, on the other hand, would everyone agree that in Baal Chov, it is like metaltalin? Right, if the technical halachic status is machlokes tanoim, why would everyone agree that in Shiva Baal Chov, that it's like metaltalin? So the answer might be, because when it comes to Shibudim, it doesn't really depend on the technical halachic legal status of karka metaltalin. It depends more on the factor of what Lichtenstein called Dvarm Shiyesh Lamechrayis, Ein Lamechrayis, or Samachalayim. Meaning, it's not that Shibud really applies to karka and not metaltalin. It's that there's something called Dvarm Shiyesh Lamechrayis. Shibud applies to property that can be counted on and can be responsible. You can count on it always being there, and you can rely on it. Unreliable property. Generally, karka is reliable property because it'll always be there. Metaltalin are not reliable property because, you know, they're here today, gone tomorrow, and certainly if you know you owe someone money, you're going to hide all your metaltalin. But there are exceptions. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samach Zayin gives an exception one way, which is might be very negel, might be not as that. Gemara says, if there are countries, most of the time, because we're talking about an agricultural economy, that's why land was so big, everyone was a farmer, sachakol. But, not literally, but they say if there's some places where they're all donkey drivers, and they all have their donkeys. You know, this is my career, is my donkey. And the donkeys are like the land for them. Then there's a shivat on donkeys. And v'chuli v'chuli, I think we'd love to use the example of elephants. Whatever is your property that doesn't go anywhere, that can always be counted on, that's a basic thing that's always around, that is like karka, that has a shiva, that's a yesh l'machrayis in your country. Which is why, already in time of Rishonim, there was a shiva on metaltalin, the machlokes Rishonim, as he didn't mention, some people say it was the hakanatska onin to change the rules of shiva. Other people say, no, nowadays when we live as moneylenders and pawnbrokers, etc., metaltalin is our karka, and that has achrayis, because we always have our money lending business. So anyway, just like sometimes metaltalin could have achrayis in these countries where they have donkeys, etc., likewise sometimes karka could not have achrayis, even if, according to one day in the Tanaim, right, even if according to the Chachamim, the ancient of the karka, the fully ripe fruit, is karka, but it doesn't matter, it has no achrayis, because you're going to cut it any second now and then sell it off or get rid of it or eat it, and it clearly can't be counted on. It's going to be gone any second, and therefore it can. That's what Tosos means. Tosos says Kuli Alma is Modeh Le'inyan Shiva, that it's like metaltalin, because even if it might technically be karka, it is no achrayis. The Tosos and the Shavuos Daf Gimel and Aleph. Okay, the Rimigash and the Rambam just have one different approach, and that's the last thing we have to say about karka. The Rimigash and the Rambam, are machalik in a different way. Tosos basically is machalik, says some cases you have the machlokes remain the chachamim, depends on the real legal halachic status. Some cases like Shabbos, it doesn't depend on the halachic status, it's still malacha to pick it no matter what. In some cases like Baal Chov, it doesn't depend on the status, it's still aim lamachrayis, you can't count on them no matter what. The Rimigash and Rambam have a different way of being a chiluk. The Rimigash says depend. The Rimigash says it won't. Says the Rimigash basically say the same thing. The Rambam says la'inyan He says very clearly, he's mitdayek in his lashon, like the Rambam is supposed to do. In Mechira, he said, in Hilchos, even before that, sorry. In Hilchos, Torah v'nitan, he says, le'inyan kfir v'alda'a, meaning le'inyan shvua, it is like metaltalin. It is like metaltalin. Le'inyan kinyan and onah, he says, is like metaltalin. So le'inyan what? Is it like karka? Le'inyan shmira. In Shomrim, he says it's Kekarka Bedin HaShomrim.
So what's the difference, on the one hand, Shomrim, and on the other hand, Shvua, or as he says, Kfir Vahoda, and Kinyan, and Ona'a? What's the difference?
So here, it doesn't seem to be like Tosos, like, well, some cases are the real Machlokas, other cases are special reasons. I think the word here is, and the Rinugash says it pretty straight out, that that you can relate to them either way. There's something which you can relate to as karka, because they're attached to the ground, or you can relate to as metaltalin, because they're fruits that you can pick. So it all depends how you relate to them. So if I'm suing you over the fruits, then when I'm suing you over the fruits, I'm suing you over just the fruits, I'm relating to them as metaltalin. Or if I'm selling you just the fruits, then I'm selling you just the fruits, I'm relating to them as metaltalin. And the same thing for onah. If I sold you just the fruits, I related to them as metaltalin. So all these cases are where I'm keeping the land, we're just arguing or selling the fruit. Then I'm relating to them as metaltalin. The whole point is that the land stays here and the fruit goes there. But in Shomrim, I told you to watch these. I didn't hire you as a harvester. I just told you to watch my land, make sure nothing happens to it. So if I told you to watch my land, including the fruits in it, we're relating to the fruits as part of the land. Therefore, we're relating to it as karka. So the Rambam, the Rinugash, would have a unique shita that there is no real truth. That it all depends. You can relate to it one way or the other way. However you relate to it is valid. Elu me'ilu. So when you're relating to it separate from the karka, then halachli has the status of separate from the karka. When you're relating to it as part of the karka, then halachli has the status of part of the karka. That's the shita of the Rambam and the Rinugash. Ad kan for karka. The second thing we discussed is shtaros. So, shtaros is a little tricky. Tosis asks, if we know that you are potter for being mazik shtaros in the first place, you're potter for being mazik shtaros. So if you're potter for being mazik, because that's just rubber, right? Right? If I burn your shtar, right, you have a shtar that owes you $1 million. I burn your shtar and then he doesn't pay. He says, you don't have proof, I'm not paying. He still owes you the money. It's just indirectly now you have trouble forcing him to pay. Now you have trouble forcing him to pay because you lost your fruit. So that's grama. So I am putter. So if I'm putter for destroying a star, then how can I be chayiv? How can I be having enough kefil? You're putter for damaging a star because it doesn't actually hurt the guy. It only hurts him indirectly. And as an aside here, Tos says, and don't tell me we hold that garmi is chayiv and you're chayiv for garmi. Right? What is garmi? The Gemara says grama is putter all over shas. Where it says a few places where a mayor is done, even garmi makes you pay for garmi. Growing means indirect causation. Garmi means indirect causation. And Tosfos and many Rishonim assume, although the Rambam don't seem to hold, that they're two different concepts. Grum is like a weaker causation. Garmi is a stronger causation. Grum is potter, but garmi is chayv. And let's stick with that for now. That both Tosfos and Rabban we mentioned here hold that approach. The post from Rambam and the Rif, who say grum and garmi mean the same thing, and we just pass in chayv. But we're seem to. They don't discuss it explicitly. So, back to this. So, Tosa says, and don't tell me really you're chayiv because we hold garmi as chayiv, because garmi is only midrar banan. And he pointed out, as an aside, this is a famous machlokes between Tosos and the Ramban. Tosos held, Tosos all over Shas, specifically in Bava Basra Daf Kaf Beis, and right here, Bava Kama Daf Samach Beis, and some other places. Tosos holds the chiv garmi is only to come to Rabbanan. The Ramban, this contrastina de garmi, special book he wrote about it, holds that it's a chiv do raisa. And that's really why there is a contrasting in the Garmi, because he points out the Gemara is often very tricky to figure out exactly when Garmi applies, when it doesn't. Like, if Grum is Pata, Garmi is Chayiv, how do you draw the line? It's very, very hard. So Tosfos Baba Basra says, not so hard. Is it the Kanadur Abundant? Some things were common, so that Garmi and their Chayiv. Some things were less common, so they didn't bother to make it the Kanadur, so they're Grum and their Pata. Meaning Tosfos is a much easier, he does draw the line, he gives a getter, but he's a much easier time justifying what's Garmi and what's Grumma, because he just, not just he can't, but he does fall back in Bava Basra Daf Kaf Beis and say, yeah, you know what, this is a common thing in their days, so they were Mechayiv and Altz Garmi, and this was uncommon, so they weren't Mechayiv, and it's left in Grama. So Tosfos has an easier time. The Ramban holds the Doraisa that Grom is Pater Rabbi Yishayev. Has to have a good svara, not just it was common in their days. A good svara why every single case in the Gemara is called Grama is Grama, and every single case in the Gemara called Garmi is Garmi, and that's why he had to write a whole book contributing to the Garmi, because it was a very complicated thing to figure out, and he had to use all his brain power until he actually got the answer. That is a somewhat of an aside. Back to our issue, Taka, how do we answer Tosfos' question? We should notice Tosfos asked the same question twice. He asked in our sugya about Gneva. He says, happy if it happened to Gneva by Shtar. It's your potter, Legamri. You haven't even hurt the guy directly if you destroy the Shtar. Tosfos also in Shavuos Daf Lamed Zayin asked about Gzeila and Shtaros. He says, what do you mean Gzeila and Shtaros? Right, they're pottering you for, well, maybe from Gzeila and Shtaros, or at least from the Ashim Gzeilos. He says, what do you mean? Even if I destroy the Shtar, I haven't done anything wrong, because I haven't really hurt you. It's only indirect. It doesn't really count. It's not halakhically recognized on the Doraisa level. So, okay, Tosfos is the question. What's the answer? So, there are a few answers. One answer is Tosfos here. Tosfos here says that in a chanami, you're potter for destroying the Shtar, because that's just indirect damaging. But you have to admit that if you steal a shtar and it's be'en, you have to give it back. That's pretty posh. If I steal your shtar and it's sitting in my pocket, of course I have to give it back. Regardless of like what would happen if I destroyed it. If it's yours, I have to give it back to you. Once I have to give it back, then there's a high way I have to give two back because of Kefel. And he says this, I assume we can get to this Chakira in Tushinon from now. This has to do with a very important Chakira in Kefel. What is Kefel? Is it 1 plus 1 or 1 times 2? By which we mean, what's the nature of the Chi of Kefel? I mean, how much are we being dived in the word Kefel? Is it that there's a Chi of Keren, which is to pay one? I'll say, Hesh was a Shagazel. Then another Chi of to pay another one. Or no, the Chi of is to double the Keren. Is Kefel like there's Keren and there's a Chiv to pay once called Keren, a Chiv to pay another time, or no, that the Chiv of Kefel is to double the Keren. So our Tosfos clearly holds like the second side. What does our Tosfos say? Really, I can't imagine a Chiv Kefel and Shtaros, because you haven't actually hurt the guy at all, so how can you pay? The answer is, once I come with the Hefki Tints of Hashavas Keren, which is Be'en, then I can throw in Kefel. Why? He has said, if he comes up, you know, why does it matter whether the Shtar is alive or dead, whether the Shtar is here or not? The answer is, because if Tosfos thought Kefel was a separate fee of, then who cares how I'm giving back or whether I'm giving back the Keren? Kefel should be potter because it's a fee of zero. But Tosfos obviously holds Kefel is not a separate fee of. It's a, at the very least, it's a doubling of the Keren. Then it makes sense, he says, if I destroy the Shtar, the Keren is zero because it's Grama, so there's no Havmin of Kefel. But if I still have the Shtar, the Keren is a Be'en of the Shtar, so can I have me a Kefel? I need a double Be'en of the Shtar. And, I mean, one band of Shtar and one monetary equivalent. So Tosfos holds one side of an important Chakira in Kefel, which I assume we'll come back to. But that's Tosfos' answer, based on one side of one way of understanding Kefel, that it's not a separate Chiyav, it's not one plus one, but it's one times two, that it means just double whatever the Keren is, which, as you can imagine, you know, not a little tricky in Keren and Shagana, then he can say the Havmin of Kefel is if I'm returning the Keren Be'en, now I have like a foothold to have a Havmin of Kefel. Tosfos in Shavuos gave a different answer, which is based on a different Chakira, one which we already made. We already asked, what is the Mechayev of Gneva? Why do I have to pay in Gneva? Do I have to pay because of the Hefsid Mamon, right? It's one of the Chaf Dalet Ovos Mezikin, so I have to pay because of the Hefsid Mamon. Is it the loss to you that makes me pay? Or no, the Maisig Neva that makes me pay. So that was a Chakira that we dealt with. So we pointed out that if you say what makes me pay is the Hefsid Mamon, then the question's right on track. Oh, but there is no Hefsid Mamon, because it's only indirect Hefsid, and luckily Abraham Hefsid doesn't count. So then you're stuck. And maybe give Tosfos in Bava Kama's answer. But if you assume no, the Mechayev of Gneva has nothing to do with the loss to the victim. The Mechayev of Gneva is not Hefsid Mamon, it's not just a fancy mazik. the Chayim of Gneiva, the Maisa Gneiva. Then the question is answered so well, there's not even a question in the first place. The answer to the question is, your question was, how could there be a Havman of Kefal? I haven't even hurt you. Halachically, I haven't even caused you a loss. I haven't even damaged you. The answer is, who cares if I damaged you? I did a Maisa Gneiva, so I'm Chayiv Kefal. If you say that Kefal comes from the Chiv comes from the Maisa Gneiva and not from the Hefid Mamo, then already it makes perfect sense. So you're right, in Shtoris there's no Hefid Mamo. But I did steal something, and if I did steal something valuable, and if I stole something valuable, then I should have to pay Kefal. Tosos and Bava Kamma does not give that answer. But now again, if you would, he likes this pre-motion for it, which I think the Rav also made. Would have said if he heard it from the Rav, and I think he heard pretty much everything the Rav had to say. But the Achronim want to say that a Gneiva, the Machayev is the Maisa Gneiva, and Gzeil Machayev is the Hefsid Mamon. Actually, it doesn't work so well in Tosos, because then in Gzeila, Tosos should have been stuck in Shuos, but in Gneiva, he should have answered, Maisa Gneiva, of course you're Chayev Kefo, when in fact the reverse is true. Okay, so that obviously Tosos doesn't work with this Chiluk of the Primosha. But back to the Etzem HaTeretz, so the Etzem HaTeretz, that's what Tosos is answering. Tosos isn't saying so much lumpus. He's just saying something which you have to think a lot to understand what the idea behind it is. But Tosos and Shua says, he says, no, there's two different ways of burning someone's star. If I just burn their star and putter, but if I take their star and burn it, then I'm chayiv. What does he mean by that? He means the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, when he talks about another case like not real hezek, I throw your coin into shallow water. So it says, if I just kick in shallow water, I'm potter. But if I pick it up, then I'm chayiv. Why? Because al tamazik I'm potter, al tzgzeila I'm chayiv. So likewise here, what Tosfos is saying is, al tamazik, b'toras mazik, there's no chilul shtaros, but b'toras tzgzeila there is. That's what Tosfos' answer above in Shavuos. So Tosfos' answer in Shavuos is that gzeila is separate from mazik, because mazik is a matter of, is obviously, chiv is the hefsid mamon to the nizak. But in Gzeila, the Machayev is, even if there's no Hefsid Mamon to the Niza, the Maisa Gzeila is Machayev you. So that's the second answer. One answer, again, what we saw in our Tosos. The second answer is Tosos in Shavuos. Now, Tosos in all of these answers assume that a shtar is actually considered a valuable monetary item. Which is, I don't think he quoted from Reb Chaim, but there's a Reb Chaim about this who developed this idea, although it's a pretty posh idea. Reb Chaim discussed it. This is one posh to everyone. There's what makes a shtar a valuable item. So he says there's the way they say over Reb Chaim's on this day, two ways, three ways, lo mishaneh. There's, let's say, three ways of saying what the value of a shtar. One way is really silly, is like, well, it's a piece of paper which you can make into an airplane or in their days into a bottle cap, and therefore it's worth one penny. Okay. But then, even if you're talking about the more serious value of shtar, there are two ways of looking at it. There is it says you owe me $1 million, the value is $1 million. And it's hard to say it's like a real value of a shtar, because he owes you $1 million even without the shtar. It's just going to be harder to collect. That gets you into grama, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's another way of looking at the value of the shtar. This was, again, it wasn't Reb Chaim's case, the Tosfos and everyone else, but I think Reb Chaim made this famous in the modern era. Said there's the value. Normally, how do you evaluate something? How much someone in the shuk would pay for it? Now, of course, in the shuk, why would someone start that says, you know, Zatz owes Newfield $1 million? For them, they'd only pay a penny if they needed a bottle cap. I mean, in those days, they didn't have bottle caps. They just put a piece of paper and then tied it around. So, if you look at a very small shuk of these two, then Taket would be money, worth money, right? If Zatz wanted to get out of paying, he would pay money, take the shtar and rip it up, because then he could never pay his debt. You know, if he wasn't the morally upstanding person that the actual Zatz is. Or likewise, if Ryan, you know, lost the shtar, he would pay money to get it back, because he doesn't trust Zatz and he wants to make sure he's going to get his money back. So it really does have value in this very limited shuk of the Lova. At least Tosfos' example, but I think Lova Malva, either way. And that comes across in a few places. Number one, in the Shach of the Marshal, that's a long Shach. We had here. He had a long argument with Marshal, and Kedarka Bakot is the Shach. He really makes his point very, very, very strongly and brings a lot of rayas. But whether Shtaros, you know, as not in terms of the whole value, I think, but just as a monetary item that you could buy and sell to at least one or two people, whether they're shy after the demon of Gzela, etc. So the Marshal says yes, the Shachsor approves no, but that just means it's mufka from certain dinim, like Karkan Avadim. But Karkan Avadim are actually valuable monetary items that are just mufka from certain dinim. So it seems pretty clear that the Shach admits that it's a valuable monetary item is just mufka from certain dinim. So shtaros really are much closer to Karkan Avadim than you think. It's not just like Karkan Avadim are monetary items that are just not metaltel. And shtar is like, oh, it's nothing. It's just like causes something else. No, shtar is also an item you can buy and sell for value. And that comes across. The famous mucker of this is the Tosin, Ksubas Daf Pei Heyam and Beis, who asked Tosas hold that there's a bit of a locus. If can I sell a debt? Selling debt, right? I have a shtar that owes me $1 million. I want to sell that debt like nowadays they do, right? You get a mortgage, right? You owe the whatever, whoever lent you the money, they sell it to this guy, and they sell it to Fannie Mae, they sell it to a big bank, whatever. Everyone sells these shtaros back and forth all the time. No problem. Or like in Israel, when I write you a check, you go, I don't know, checks are complicated, but let's assume it's a shtar. You know, I give you the check, and now I'm like in America, and then you give it to someone else, and you give it to someone else, etc., until someone finally cashes it. So, is that the right to draw a bonnet that I can sell a debt, sell a shtar? So Tosos holds the right bonnet. So Tosos, you don't have to admit that, but Tosos holds that. Right? So if Tosos holds the right bonnet, then right, the other Rishonim don't. But Tosos holds the right bonnet, Tosos has a problem. The Gemara learns about Metzia, we saw this Mishnah, that shtaros don't have the din of Onoah. Mida Oraisa, shtaros are excluded from Onoah. Hold on. If they're excluded from Onoah, you can only have a shot of Onoah if you sell them. What does that mean? If you sell them, there's no din Onoah, which means Mida Oraisa, you can sell them. But Tosos just said Mida Oraisa, you can't sell it. So if Tosos holds Mida Oraisa, you can't sell a shtar, then how come Mida Oraisa, you can sell it and not have a rule of Onoah? So the answer does says it depends what you're selling. If you're selling the debt, meaning I want to sell you, I have the shtar that Zatz owes $1 million, and when I sell it, what I mean is he should now owe you $1 million. That's not midoraisa. Midoraisa, you can't transfer a debt. But forget about the debt. There's also the shtar, right? The shtar is worth money in the very small shuk of the people whose names are on it. So I can, you're right, midoraisa can't sell the debt. But I can sell the shtar, meaning I can say, look, I'm desperate for money. I really need some money now. Buy the shtar for me. And, you know, then when I get my money, I'll buy it back from you. Worst comes to worst, you can sell it to him and he'll use it to rip me off. It has some value. Right? Assuming at least that there's potentially dishonest people involved here, which is the way the real world works. Then it has some value. So that's the value, which, of course, you can sell that in Doraisa. Like, why can't you sell the shtar for its usefulness to the two people in terms of proving your cases? That you can sell. It's just, you know, like if you have some other item that's only useful to one person in the world. It's still worth money, because you can sell it in the shop and it'll sell it to that one person. So that I can sell, and that's where there's no din of Onoah. So Tosos already has this chiddush that, besides the value in the shtar, which is a total gram, you can't even sell the face value, there is the value of the shtar because people want their proof, or they want the other guy not to have the proof. And that, you can sell me midoraisa, and that's what the shach is admitting to, and that's what's going on really in our sugyas. That's what's going on in our sugyas. That, you know, when you're talking about the kefal and the shtaros, Reb Chaim says, no one's talking about the kefal of the $1 million it says on the shtar. We're talking about the value of the shtar when you look at it as a commodity. And therefore, we see, you know, the Havamin is not so crazy, and it's just potter, because it's like Harkin Avodim, it really is something that you could have seen as a monetary object, just as a potter. Okay, the last thing we discussed is Hekdesh. Tosos asked the Kasha on the top of Sav Gimel and Aleph, why in two places in our Perek we need two different drushos to potter Hekdesh from Kefa? Good question. We said Re'ehu v'lo Hekdesh, and we said V'gunem Beis Ha'ish v'lo Mi Beis Hekdesh. So, why do you need two redundant drushos for one din? So Tosos gives a more technical answer. Tosos says, really, they're one drusha. We never meant there's a drusha, excuse me, Beis HaIsh V'lo Mi Beis Hekdesh. What we meant is, when we said that, we meant, oh, Mi Beis HaIsh, look above, it says Re'ehu and not Hekdesh. So really, there's only one drusha called Re'ehu V'lo Hekdesh. So if there's only one drusha, there's no kasha. Problem is that the Rambam is straight out brings down two different drushas and makes them seem like two different demons. You don't even need to be like Rav Chaim here. I mean, the Rambam, all you need to do is, you know, have Rav Chaim told you once. You should read Rambams carefully. And then the Rambam says, Gonev, etc., hektish, ain't a mashalim, ela kerem, so there's a little hektish. Then it says, Gonev, kachim, y base balehem, you don't pay kefal, so gonev, base ish, below, and base aganef. So it's clear that the, unlike Tulsa said, there's really only one drush. The Rambam says, of course, there are two drushes. There's two different pturim. Okay, we just have to figure. One is for nitse hektish, one is for kachim, y base balehem. I mean, it's pretty clear there are two different. One is nitse hektish, property of hektish, the other is for kachim, y base balehem, kachim, from the house of their regular human owners. So there's kachim that belong to Hektish and kachim that have human bitum. And you need one ptur for each. So what is going on here exactly? The one thing which that, just read the Rambam carefully. So the Rambam clearly has a very different approach than Tosfos. But what are these, what does he mean by these two things? So here Reb Chaim helps you out a little based on a Tosfos. It's funny because the Yesod of Tosfos is explaining the Rambam, but okay, Tosfos had the Yesod, he just didn't think it applied to the Pesukim of Kefa. The Tosfos asked the famous Tosfos asked the Steer and Daf Ayin Vav and Aleph, the Gemara Sosur itself between Ayin Daf Ayin Vav and Daf Ayin Tes. If I'm Makdash an animal, does that count as selling it or not? One Gemara says, Daf Ayin Tes, Mali Machro Le Gavon, Mali Machro Le Pedut. What's the difference if I sell, give the animal to you? Because again, tavach u'machar, machar is lav dafka. It could be matana also. You don't have to sell it. You could give it as a gift. What's the difference if I give it to you or I give it to Hektish? I've given it to someone else. I'm chayv dal behe. That's mechira. The other one says, no. If I give it to you, I've transferred it. If I give it to Hektish, meikar tordurum hashkordurum, it's still mine. And therefore, it's not considered mechira. So is Hektish considered mechira, a transfer of ownership, or is it not considered mechira? It's a flat-out stira. Not the only way to resolve it, but Tosfos says, two different kinds of Hektish, Hektish Bedek Abayis, and Hektish Mizbech. This gets on to the big Chakir and Hektish, right? I mean, I think we could all, if I'd ask you to give me one Chakir about the nature of Hektish, you would have said, what's the nature of the status of Hektish? Is it fundamentally a bindless, like just another kind of ownership, just a funny ownership, not me or you or a regular person, but Hashem's ownership. And from Hashem's ownership flow all kinds of rules, so it's within the realm of bindless, or no. It's a matter of it having a certain purpose in the Avodas Hashem. Since this is set aside for a certain purpose in Avodas Hashem, it has certain status, etc. So, but the bindless, it's still the original owners. So Tulsa says, no, it all depends. There's Kachim Vedekabayis and Kachim Mizbeach. What's the difference? Kachim Vedekabayis, I'm donating to the Beis HaMikdash to do whatever they want with. So that's a transfer of bailus. It used to be mine, now it's the Beis HaMikdash. I have nothing to do with it anymore. And it doesn't even have a very important purpose. It's Hektish that belongs to them. So there, if I donate it to Vedekabayis, I'm Chayadal Lehe, I sold it to Hektish. But then there's Kachim Mizbeach, I donate it as a carbon. What is a carbon? Everyone knows. Right, you read the first thing you know in Zvachim is that a kachin needs to be shechted l'shem habaylim. There's a baylim. The baylim does smicha, and the four avodas hadam have to be done l'shem baylim. And the baylim eats the meat if it's kachin kalim, and the baylim gets kapara. Meaning this is totally mine. I'm just using it for a very exalted purpose. So Rambam said in kachin mizbeach. That's what the Gemara meant. May kartar to ruin hashkur to ruin. I haven't sold it. It's still mine. It just has the status of hektish. So Reb Chaim makes a fundamental chiluk. There is a bailus of hektish, and kachim v'kabayis, total transfer of bailus. And then there's kachim mizbeach, which is not a transfer of bailus. Kachim might get some rights in it. The mizbeach, the gizbar gets some rights. But it's fundamentally just a setting aside for use for the mizbeach, but it's still mine. After all, I'm the bailum. And that every single dinner in the seventh zvachim depends on the bailum. So Reb Chaim says, that's a Mefurish Tosfos. He just says, that's Shan and the Rambam here. First the Rambam says, Netzei Hektish, that's Kachi Berik HaBayis. Netzei Hektish are totally owned by Hektish, and the Havamin is to pay Kefal to Hektish, and the Pasuk says, Re'eyu, you don't pay Kefal to Hektish. But Kachi Mizbeach would not have a meter of Re'eyu. What do you mean? Kachi Mizbeach are still mine, the Havamin is to pay Kefal to me. Right, so Kachi Berik HaBayis, you might have thought, It's Hektish's property, I pay Hektish. Kefal no re'eyu, not Hektish. But you still need a pasuk for kachim mizbeach. It's my carbon, I'm just using it for a carbon, so it's very holy. But if you steal it, you might think you'd have to pay kefal to me. That's what you base ha'ish, the lowly base Hektish, that even though you stole my property, since it wasn't totally mine in all senses base ha'ish, it also had some Hektish status to it, and therefore it wasn't. It was more of like maybe Zelfi Shein Oshol, Zelfi Shein Bershuso kind of situation. Your parts are from Min Kefal to me. But they're two different. One is Bailus Hektish, Pur Kefal to Hektish, Re'eyu. The other is Bailus Basar V'dam. But status of Hektish, so your Pur Hektish to the Basar V'dam, Bailum. The Chazanish didn't like such a fundamental chiluk between Hektish Bedek Abayis and Hektish Zeh, but Rav Chaim was very convinced of this. Both he had on the first Tosfos Dafayin Vav, which seemed pretty clearly to say this, and he thought pretty clearly this was shown in the Rambam right here about the two drushes.
Nafkamina is not within the Rambam itself,
Correct. That's where the Nafkamina will come across from. The Maisa, we just pointed out a little later, but this didn't tie up, it didn't make a pattern or anything. It's just an important question to ask whenever you look at Hekdesh. Any din, any halakha says Hekdesh has a certain rule. Is that talking about the bailus of Hekdesh as bailam, or the chefta of Hekdesh as the chefta? Because Hekdesh can be a bailam and can be a status of the chefta. So, for example, we just gave a few examples. I'm not going to repeat now. You go through, you dike and wash of the Rambam. Questions, we didn't bring them all together, but you dike and wash of the Rambam, etc. Whenever you see Hekdesh is excluded, is that because Hekdesh as a bailam is excluded from being a party to this din? Or is that because Hekdesh as a, and then Hekdesh would be parallel to Akum? Or Hekdesh is parallel to Karka, Vod, and Shtaros? Hekdesh as a Hefta of Hekdesh is excluded from this din? And you look different places, different Lashonos in the Rambam, but we didn't put them together.